much past, I'd like to express my gratitude to the organizers who gave me a chance to visit here for the first time. So, today I talk about the validated computation numerical tool for the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue using graph theory. And this is a joint work with Professor Ishii in Kyushu University, which is an expert in dynamical systems problem. And at the beginning, I'd like to show you the contents of my presentation. And I'd like to start to the introduction, and in this talk, I'd like to explain about matrix eigenvalue problem, and especially I'm interested in Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue of a matrix. And in this project, I'd like to combine the matrix eigenvalue problem with graph theory. And so, roughly speaking, I decompose the matrix into small submatrices using graph theory. And in the graph theory, we consider the directed graph, and we want to find some strongly connected components of a directed graph. And there is a very efficient algorithm, so-called Sargent algorithm, to find all strongly connected components in a directed graph. So in this project, we make use of his algorithm to find the strongly connected components very efficiently. And I want to explain about the enclosure of the eigenvalue of the matrix, and especially we are interested in Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue, so there is a very efficient enclosure method for this special eigenvalue, so I'd like to explain about it. And finally, I show you some numerical examples, and I conclude my presentation. So, in this talk, we consider about the matrix eigenvalue problem. So, this is well known, find matrix eigenvalue lambda and eigenvector x of which satisfies this equation. And especially, we want to apply our numerical tool to the dynamical system. So, especially we are interested in the matrix which is real and which is large, non-negative, and sparse matrix. And especially this matrix is non-symmetric. So, we consider the eigenvalue problem for this matrix, for this kind of matrix, and especially we are interested in some special eigenvalue which takes an important role in dynamical systems. So, our aim is to enclose. Enclosing means to compute rigorous upper and lower bounds for eigenvalues of a special eigenvalue. And especially in dynamical systems, the so-called Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue is very important. So, we would like to enclose especially Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue of this kind of matrix. And so, in this project with Professor Ishii, we want to provide a efficient numerical computation tool like that. So, the input is a non-negative matrix. Then, as an output, rigorous upper and lower bounds of Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue can be obtained. So, we make a sum. So far we make only matrix program, but we want to extend some C++ or Fortran or many languages. So we want to provide some numerical functions to, for example, some functions in a matrix program. And finally we want to release this tool in public. So, if you input any non-negative matrix, then automatically rigorous upper and lower bounds can be obtained. And here, I'd like to explain briefly about some numerical verification. So, in a previous talk of Professor Bloom, and their so-called numerical verification, or computer-assisted proof, and there are many calling to that subject. For example, self-validating methods or numerical verification or computer-assisted proofs or numerical computations with guaranteed accuracy. So, in this subject, we can obtain some guaranteed accuracy, and so we can say that this computer-assisted proofs guarantees the existence and some indication uniqueness of the solution. And this is very important, especially in a differential equation. In many nonlinear differential equations, the existence of solutions are unknown. So, and using this numerical verification method, we can mathematically prove the existence or uniqueness of the solution of the equation. And it also guarantees the residual between exact solution and approximate solution. So today we consider a matrix eigenvalue problem. So our aim is to obtain the exact eigenvalue of a matrix. So we can obtain the residual between the exact eigenvalue and approximate eigenvalue, which is computed by usual numerical computation. And of course, we treat the error very rigorously. So the errors occurred in a computing process in a computer are also assured. So we control rounding errors or any errors in computers. And there is a very efficient tool, so-called interrupt. This is a matter of toolbox for verified computation. And this is derived by Professor Loop in Hamburg. And this function gives us the verification of eigen cluster near some approximate eigen value and eigen function. So this is very useful if we have some approximate eigen value and approximate eigen vector, then simply use this function, so-called verify eig, then we can obtain an eigenvalue cluster near lambda. And this is, of course, this is enclosed, so we can obtain rigorous eigenvalue cluster using this function. And as an output, the complex interval L contains at least k eigenvalues of the matrix A, and the complex n times k matrix X, capital X, includes the base for the corresponding invariant subspace. So, this is very efficient tool to obtain a rigorous exact eigenvalue, but we don't use this because we want to obtain some so-called Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue, so which has the maximum absolute value. But this function cannot prove such property. So this time we don't use this function. And for example, if we are interested in a maximum eigenvalue of the matrix, then if the matrix is real and a symmetric matrix, then there is a method to enclose to obtain a rigorous upper bound for the maximum eigenvalue. So let lambda tilde be approximate maximum eigenvalue, and using very small number delta, which is positive, and we define mu as a 1 plus delta times this approximate eigenvalue. Then set a matrix capital X as mu times I is the identity matrix, mu times I minus A, and we compute the Kresge decomposition of this matrix. This is, and we can do this by usual numerical computation. So this is approximate Kresge decomposition of the matrix X, and compute a new matrix Y, and so we have to do this computation in rigorous sense, so we have to use some interval analysis to compute this matrix, then compute this value low, then we can obtain the rigorous upper bound of the maximum eigenvalue of the real symmetric matrix. But of course this is only upper bound, and we cannot obtain lower bound for this matrix and for this maximum eigenvalue. And so today we consider matrix eigenvalue problem. This is of course very closely related to numerical verification for differential equations. And for example, if there is some nonlinear differential equation, we often use the Newton method for infinite dimension case. And in such case, we want to estimate the inverse operator of the linearized operator of the nonlinear equation. And when we estimate the inverse operator of the linearized operator, then sometimes the maximum eigenvalue takes an important role. So, and this matrix eigenvalue problem is very important in the numerical verification for nonlinear equations. And the matrix eigenvalue problem is also related to an infinite dimensional eigenvalue problem. So, the operator. So, infinite dimensional eigenvalue problem is this. L is an operator, and finding eigenvalue lambda and eigenfunction u. And actually, my main research field is here. So, infinite dimensional eigenvalue problem, and especially L is an elliptic differential operator, and I have made research on, for example, L is a non-commutative harmonic oscillator, or in last 2 years, I'm having research on the one-dimensional Schrödinger operator, and I'm interested in existence or non-existence of eigenvalue in essential spectrum gaps. So this is a joint work with Michael Blum in last 2 years, and so my main research field is actually infinite dimensional eigenvalue problem, and I have done this kind of research more than 10 years. So if I was allowed to talk about this project, then I will happily talk about for hours, for days, for weeks. But today I wanted to give a talk about which is related to graph theory. So I'd like to concentrate on the matrix eigenvalue problem today. So today we consider the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue. So at first, and this is very basic mathematical things, but for your convenience, I'd like to introduce some basic mathematical things. So here, let A be a real n times n square matrix, and let lambda 1 to lambda n be the eigenvalues of this matrix A. Then it is well known that the spectral radius is defined like this, the maximum of the absolute value of all eigenvalues of the matrix A. And this here, let me explain about the simplicity of eigenvalue. And lambda is geometrically simple, means that a corresponding eigenspace is one-dimensional, and lambda is algebraically simple if lambda is a simple root of the characteristic polynomial. This is a basic mathematical thing. And this is also the definition of the basic mathematical thing. So A is called reducible if there exists a permutation matrix which satisfies with this relation. And here in the diagonal line, A11 and A22 is a square matrices. And in case the dimension of A is equal to 1, then, of course, and the real matrix is reducible. And the matrix A is called irreducible when A is not reducible. And in this research, we are interested in irreducible components of the matrix, non-negative matrix A. And this result is also well known. So, there exists a permutation matrix P tilde, then we can decompose the original matrix A into in this form. And here, and this is the upper, the block upper triangular matrix, and the diagonal components A1, A2, and AM are irreducible and non-negative, or one-dimensional zero matrix. And we call this A1, A2, and AM as irreducible components of A. So we want to decompose the original matrix A into this form. So roughly speaking, when we want to find the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue of the original matrix A, at first we decompose this matrix A into this form and compute the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue of each reducible component and take the maximum. So this result is mathematically well known, but computing this decomposition is a bit difficult. So in order to find this reducible component, we make use of graph theory. So we connect this original matrix A with some directed graph, and we find some strongly connected components of the directed graph, then it provides this reducible component of the original matrix A. This is a rough idea. So let me explain about the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue. This is also well known, but for your convenience, I'd like to explain about the Perron-Frobenius theorem. Now, let A be a non-negative and irreducible matrix, then the spectral radius could be an eigenvalue, which is positive, and the eigenvalue is both geometrically and algebraically simple. And moreover, the corresponding eigenvector is positive. This is well-known Perron-Frobenius theorem. And here we call this spectral radius as the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue, which is often called Perron root or Perron eigenvalue or Frobenius eigenvalue. That in this talk, I'd like to call this eigenvalue as Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue, or simply PF eigenvalue. And we are interested in to compute this Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue in a mathematically rigorous sense. So we want to obtain a rigorous upper and lower bound for this Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue. And so this Perron-Frobenius theorem is a well-known theorem. And there are many ways to prove this theorem, and that, let me explain briefly about the outline of proof. So, here we define the set S as like this, then this set S is a bounded, convex, closed, and non-empty set, and we define the operator T using this formulation. Then the operator T is a continuous map from S to S, so we can use the Brouwer fixed point theorem, so we can easily obtain the existence of the fixed point of this operator T. So if we put this fixed point into the function theta of x, then we can obtain the positive eigenvalue. So this is the existence of the eigenvalue and eigenfunction. Then later we prove that positiveness is very clear, and later we can prove that this eigenfunction is also positive, and we can also prove that this eigenvalue is geometrically and algebraically simple.
But this doesn't give you an effective way to explain the Perron-Robbins eigenvalue.
Not yet. Yes. Later we extend this theorem to the usual non-linear method. And so this Perron-Robbins eigenvalue. So this Perron-Robbins eigenvalue is valid for non-negative and irreducible matrix. So if we omit the irreducibility of the matrix, then the vector radius might be zero. So we want to obtain the positive eigenvalue. And for usual non-negative matrix A, for non-negative matrix A with irreducible component, we define the Perron-Robbins eigenvalue as a maximum of the Perron-Robbins eigenvalue for each this irreducible component. So this definition is very natural, and if mu is another eigenvalue of A, then of course this relation holds. So we can define the Perron-Robbins eigenvalue for the non-negative matrix, and we want to enclose the Perron-Robbins eigenvalue for non-negative matrix, which might be irreducible or might not be irreducible. So our purpose is to compute this irreducible component of a non-negative matrix. So we want to obtain this irreducible component very efficiently. So here we want to make use of a graph theory to obtain such irreducible components of non-negative matrix. So I'm sure that I should not give this very basic thing about graph theory, but let me explain briefly about graph theory. So, as well known, the graph is defined as a set of V. This is a set of vertices, and E is a set of edges. And it is well known that the directed graph and undirected graph exist. And in this project, we are interested in directed graph. And for the vertices V and W, the path is a sequence of vertices and edges leading from V to W. And the graph G is called connected when there is a path between every pair of vertices. And especially, the graph G is called strongly connected if for each pair of vertices V and W, there exists path V1, which is from V to W, and P2, which is from W to V. And this strongly connectivity is very important in this project. So here, let G be a directed graph, and V and W as vertices. Then we define the equivalent relation like this. So V is equivalent to W is defined that there is a closed path P from V to V, which contains W. Then let the distinct equivalence classes under this equivalence relation be P sub I. So, and define the subgraph GI using this EI. And here we define the set of edges like this. So now I'm writing the edge as V, the pair of VW, so which means, and this means the edges from V to W. So under these conditions, then we can obtain that this subgraph G sub I is strongly connected, and no subgraph G sub GI is a proper subgraph of a strongly connected subgraph of G. And we call this GI a strongly connected component, and SDC of the original grant of G. And now we connect the metrics with a directed graph. So, if the matrix A is given, then we consider the associated graph G, which is given by like this. So, if the matrix A is given, then I have to factor it. I believe I found enough to reach the upper part. Okay. So, if there is a matrix A, then we connect this matrix A with a directed graph. So, we define the vertices, a set of vertices V as this column 1 to n, and we define the edge of the graph if and only if the component of the of this matrix is non-zero. Then, so if the component aij is not equal to zero, then we consider that there is a path from I to j, from the vertex I to vertex j. So now we consider the relation between irreducibility and strong connectivity. So it is well known that the matrix A is irreducible, it's equivalent to the associated directed graph, G is strongly connected. So if we can obtain the strongly connected component of G, so called G1 to G sub M, then we can obtain, so this strongly connected component of a directed graph corresponds to a irreducible component of A. So if we can obtain this strongly connected component of G very efficiently.
Susan, I missed the point. Your graph G, it's the previous slide, has been defined to be directed or not?
A directed graph.
And what is the orientation?
Orientation. So we define if aij is not equal to zero, then we consider that there is a path from I to j.
It's an order, okay, thank you.
So we want to make use of the graph theory in order to obtain the irreducible component of A very efficiently. So now our main purpose is our main purpose is to find the strongly connected components of a directed graph G very efficiently. So, and the connections between the strongly connected components of a directed graph and the irreducible component of a regional matrix A, and also the Meron-Frobenius eigenvalue of a regional matrix A, and the Meron-Frobenius eigenvalues of each reducible component AI.
The small yes. Button close to the top.
And relations have been observed in this paper, which was written by Professor Ishii and Sun. And this is a paper in dynamical systems, and they applied this relation to compute the topological entropy of some piecewise appearing homeomorphism of the plane. And so, this relation already observed in this paper, and so our our purpose is to obtain the strongly connected components very efficiently. And here is a very efficient algorithm, so-called Sargent algorithm. And this is a very fast and very efficient algorithm to find all the strongly connected components of any given finite directed graph. And algorithm uses the depth first search. This algorithm is based on depth first search, and the Sargent algorithm works correctly on any finite directed graph, and it requires only order the number of vertices and number of edges and concerning space and time. So it's very efficient, very fast method to compute all strongly connected components. And the depth-first search is a well-known method to number vertices in a directed graph. So, let me explain briefly about the depth-first search. So consider the following choice rule on searching a graph. So when selecting an edge to traverse, and we always choose an edge emanating from the vertex most recently reached, which still has unexplored edges. So, in the depth first search, we first go to the most deep part of this the graph. Then we can number to each vertices. And the Sargent algorithm is based on the depth first search. So it's a bit difficult to explain the precise method and precise procedure of the Sargent algorithm. And the key point is a so-called lowering of some vertex V. And this is a procedure of the Sargent algorithm to find all strongly connected components. So define the number low link as fast as the same as the number of the vertices, then compute we compute the low link of the vertex V, then this is derived as the smallest vertex which is in the same strongly component as the vertex V, and it is proved that the vertex V is the root of some strongly connected components of graph G, if and only if this number low link of V is equal to V. So in Sargent algorithm, he computes this number very efficiently. So in his algorithm, the root of some strongly connected component is easily defined. And for example, if we apply the Sargent algorithm of this directed graph G, then we can very quickly obtain three strongly connected components like this. So, if a non-negative matrix A is given, then we construct the directed graph G and then compute the strongly connected components of a graph by using Sargent algorithm, then we transform this strongly connected components to matrix, then which corresponds to an irreducible submatrix of an original matrix. And this is a MATLAB code for Sargent algorithm, so it's very simple code, and it works on any directed graph. So far, this matter of cause is adapted to full matrix, so it needs some rather large memory. So we have to improve our program to adapt to some sparse matrix. So for the moment, this is only for the full matrix A. So we apply the Tarjan's algorithm, then finally we can obtain the strongly connected components very efficiently. So this is a natural function, so we simply apply this code. So if the non-negative matrix A, and we can obtain, and when we construct the directed graph G, then apply this matter of code SDC, then you can obtain the strongly connected component. So now I'd like to explain the enclosure of Perron Frobenius eigenvalue. Here, let A be a non-negative matrix, then for any vector, any positive vector, we have this enclosure method. So the right hand side is take the maximum of this value, and this means A times X is a vector. So each ith component, for each ith component, we compute this value and then take maximum. And on the other hand, in the left hand side, we take a minimum, then we can obtain the enclosure of the Perron Frobenius eigenvalue. So this is the upper bound and this is the lower bound. And this relation holds for any vector x. So if we put some positive vector x, then we can obtain some value, but usually this is not so narrow interval. So this is important, that finding a good vector, good positive vector x means getting sharp bounds for the Perron Frobenius eigenvalue. So we need to compute a good vector x at first. And this is the algorithm of validated computation for Perron Frobenius eigenvalue. And as I explained, so if we have a non-negative matrix A, we construct a graph, associated directed graph G, then apply the Tarjan algorithm to this directed graph, then we can obtain strongly connected components of this directed graph. And these strongly connected components correspond to irreducible components of the original matrix A, and we compute the Perron Frobenius eigenvalue for this each irreducible component, because A is the only non-negative matrix. So if we take an approximate eigenfunction to the Perron Frobenius eigenvalue A, then some components might be zero. So it means that any good approximate eigenfunction might not give sharp bounds. So it means that at first we need to decompose this original matrix A into reducible components. Then irreducible and non-negative matrix has a positive eigenvector, so it gives a very sharp bound for each irreducible component of the matrix. So we don't use this estimation to the original non-negative matrix, but we apply this relation to each irreducible component of this original matrix A. Then, as a by the definition of the parameter of Newton's eigenvalue of non-negative matrix A, we take a maximum of each parameter of Newton's eigenvalue of the each reducible component. Then finally, we can obtain the parameter of Newton's eigenvalue enclosure of the non-negative matrix A. So this is the main procedure in our numerical tool. And I'd like to show you two examples to explain the efficiency of our numerical tool. And here, the matrix A is a n times n three diagonal matrix, like this. And this is non-symmetric. Let's see this part. This is a diagonal line, and this component is different. So this is a non-symmetric and non-negative matrix. And this matrix has two eigenvalue as a maximum eigenvalue, and which has the same maximum absolute value, and one is plus and one is minus. So it means that the usual power method is not valid to obtain good approximate eigenvector. We have to shift the eigenvalue to obtain the good approximate eigenvector. So we need some tasks to obtain a good approximate eigenvector. So, for example, in case the dimension of A is 1024, then if we apply 1, 1 means the enclosure of the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue, and this dimension, if we compute this value for some approximate eigenvector x, then it means that the approximate eigenvector is not so accurate. So the enclosure of Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue is not so accurate. So this is lower bound and this is upper bound, and this interval is not so narrow. But if we decompose this original matrix A into some reducible component A, then apply this relation, then apply this enclosure method to each reducible component, then take maximum, then we can obtain a very narrow enclosure of the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue of the original matrix A. And it also takes a short time compared with this method, and it causes that the usual power method takes much time to converge, because this matrix A has a maximum eigenvalue which has two signs, one is positive and one is minus. So this enclosure is derived in case that usual power method was used. And another example is this kind of matrix. And here, xk is a sequence and which takes 0 or 1. And the matrix A is defined like this. And this matrix A is this matrix A arises in a dynamical system, and this is related to some map which is called Lotz map. So the previous sequence x of n changes corresponding to some parameter a and b, and changing this parameter, then the dynamical system changes, then the topological entropy of the dynamical system is obtained as a logarithm of a Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue. So to compute the rigorous enclosure of the Perron-Frobenius eigenvalue is very important in dynamical systems. And in case B is equal to 0.1 and changes parameter A like this, then we can obtain the Fraunhofer values eigenvalue in this interval. We can enclose this, we can enclose the Fraunhofer values eigenvalue in each interval. And this is theoretically known that if the parameter A is greater than 2.06, then Fraunhofer values eigenvalue is exactly equal to 2. This is theoretically known, but in case A is less than 2.06, then the theoretical proof is nothing. So we need to enclose the Fraunhofer values eigenvalue in mathematically rigorous sense, and this is the new result in this dynamical system. And using this Fraunhofer values eigenvalue, the topological entropy is computed based on this Fraunhofer values eigenvalue.
This is SCC in the second column, that's the number of connected components, or what is it?
SCC is, I guess, exactly the number of strongly connected components of the graph.
I don't know how to associate the matrix with this triangle system.
The previous matrix is the so-called transition matrix. This is a
associated some shift of finite type.
Yes, the finite type of shift is applied to the proxima, then we can obtain some matrix as a transition matrix.
To do that, you also need a Markov partition for it.
Yes, something like that. It's not directly connected to the matrix, but this matrix can be obtained by some finite type shift. And I'd like to conclude my presentation. So we have developed a numerical tool for rigorous computation of Fraunhofer values eigenvalue for non-negative matrix. And so far, and I'd like to comment that this program can be used to judge the irreducibility of a matrix. So if we can obtain the number of SCC strongly connected components as 1, then it means that the original matrix is irreducible. So proving the irreducibility theoretically is a bit difficult, but using this numerical tool, we can prove that the original matrix is irreducible as a result of the number of strongly connected components. And so far, as I mentioned before, this tool is adapted to a full matrix. So we want to improve. We want to improve our tool, which is more adapted to the sparse matrix, so reduced to the memory. So we want to improve the our tool to make use of the sparsity of the matrix. And after obtaining the irreducible component matrix, then the computing of Fraunhofer values eigenvalue for each irreducible component can be obtained parallel computing. So further, we want to make some parallel computing for each process of the computing of Fraunhofer values eigenvalue. And finally, we are planning to release this tool in near future in public and free as a matter of course or C++ or Fortran, something. So, thank you for your kind attention.
Suppose you want to say, based on the properties that you have from us, that the sum of them elements, either row-wise or column-wise, is 1, so there are stochastic properties.
Mm-hmm.
Then we know that the maximum eigenvalue is 1, and the maximum corresponding to the eigenvector 1 over 1. Is there a way to use your method by projecting out this component, this space, and then getting the next eigenvalue? In many applications, in quantum graphs, or the classical analog of quantum graphs, what we are really interested is the gap, the difference between the leading eigenvalue, which is always 1, and the next eigenvalue, which plays the role, essentially, of the problems we want.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a systematic way to go from one point to this point?
I think it's possible and it might be better to use the Bloom's method to obtain each n eigenvalue.
That's a long time. If you want to do it efficiently, you should search for something better.
I'm not sure about the second maximum eigenvalue.
So you need to find the invariant subspace for the rest of the set.
You have to project out a set of eigenvalue. And you have to go with the subspace.
Mm-hmm. After that, then you might apply to this.
The question is whether there is a direct way to get the subspace.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is at least that when you have this subspace, then you can apply this algorithm to the subspace. But finding the subspace is a different problem.
No, it's not.
You know it. Okay, then it should be possible.
So, in the future of numerical computation, subspace method is very efficient to the one and maximum eigenvalue. I'm not sure.
But he says, well, I don't know that. He says that it's known how to find the subspace, which is found by the rest of it.
Does the matrix stay non-negative?
Apply this algorithm on this subspace.
Yeah.
We have the projection from left to right, which reduces
the range. The question is whether the resulting matrix remains positive.
That's right.
That is the decimal.
Have you challenged the program in increasing the dimension? How far can you go?
Yes. So far, this program is adapted to full metric. So 3000 was the maximum in the MATLAB.
And is it the storage number the limit, or is it the computing power limit?
That's right. And is it easy to compute the, for example, this example for the dynamical system, that we're going to produce very general program to sparse metrics, but it needs the sparsity of each metric. So it was a bit difficult to compute some general program adapting to each usual
aspect. For discrete, the results you showed, the bracketing is for discretization of the unit. This is the bracketing for the eigenvalues of the discrete unit. But how do you know that it's the same bracket for the continuous? For the eigenvalue of the map as well? When you showed this map and then the matrix, which is discretization of this map, then you computed the brackets, the interval, for the eigenvalues of the matrix.
And it's not a discretization. The matrix is not a discretization.
You mean discretization? This is a transition matrix, so this does not mean the discretization of the original operator.
Maybe he was confused by your remark that you usually work on infinite dimensional operators. Then there, that if you have a discretization, then of course there is something else in the other. But this matrix was not a discretization.
Oh, it was just